You know that it is not rare for me to divulge how I got from there to here, right? From thinking, pondering scripture to standing in front of the pulpit today. I've shared with you many times, oftentimes I start writing down a sermon and God keeps erasing it as I go. Every time I tried to write down the sermon on this hinge point in Mark's gospel, God said, Jim, if you write this down, it's going to be about you. And today I'd like it to be about me. So I'm going to share with you something that happened as I walked literally with this scripture. I'm going to give you two words that both start with J, and now I'm thinking we could probably add a third, maybe I will, in this iteration of the sermon. And then we're going to talk about the importance of vision and sightedness as a church, okay? Mark's gospel is economic in the sense that it is very, very sparse. He uses very few words. It's the shortest gospel in the synoptics, but they're loaded and they're rich with meaning, as is true for this passage. So if I said to you this morning, I drove to deliver this sermon from Fredericksburg, you would know something about how long it took me to get from there to here, right? If you, and I want you to look at your scripture with me this morning. There's a faithful member of our Wednesday Bible study. We're going to do a little Bible study this morning, Cammie. So come along with me as we study the Bible this morning together. There's a really quick sentence at the beginning, and what does it say? Jesus came to Jericho, and just as quickly as he came to Jericho, they were leaving Jericho. When an evangelist puts in a place that has a name, there's a reason that the evangelist is putting in there. Otherwise, it wouldn't make any difference. So what Mark is telling us is that Jesus comes to Jericho and he's leaving Jericho. And where is he on his way to? Do we know? He's on his way from Jericho to Jerusalem. So those are the first two words that I want you to kind of plant in your hearts and minds, okay? Jericho to Jerusalem. Say it with me. Jericho to Jerusalem. We could say as Christian people that we are those who are on a journey with Jesus, and part of that journey is a journey from Jericho to Jerusalem. It's got a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Do you know why Jericho is important in the sense of the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament? Exactly. Everybody at every service has gotten this. Joshua, the conquest of Canaan begins in Jericho and it ends in Jerusalem. It's a journey to the promised land. So Mark is telling us in one sentence, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm talking to you about is a journey from Jericho to Jerusalem, which is a journey to the promised land. It is a new conquest, is what Mark is telling us, a new conquest of Canaan, all in one sentence. That's pretty thick, isn't it? Mark is such a brilliant theologian. So I'm trying to wrap my mind around what this means to be on a journey from Jericho to Jerusalem. So guess what I do? I went for a walk. Actually, I went for three or four walks throughout the weekend. I can leave my house, which is on Porter Street, you know where that is, enter into the woods in Glover Archibald Park, and walk all the way down to the canal and never leave the woods except crossing three streets. It's a wonderful walk. Takes me about 2 hours to go all the way down to sit at the river and turn around and come back up. So I've got this scripture passage from Mark embedded in my brain, and I'm walking along, and I was just about to the end, and I'm walking through, it was a beautiful weekend to walk, and I'm sort of acting this out, and I'm remembering that Jesus is on his way from Jericho to Jerusalem, and as the scripture says, he has his face set towards Jerusalem. Nothing is going to stop him. He knows exactly where he is going. He knows why he's going. He's going to turn over those tables in the temple. And so he's not just sort of passing the pieces as he's walking along. He is moving towards Jerusalem. And then all of a sudden, and you're going to think I'm crazy when I say this, I hear a tree shout. And the tree says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And I keep on walking, I think, "Oh, is that a tree talking to me? Son of David, have mercy on me." And I literally stopped. And there was silence. And I thought, wow. This Mark the evangelist is creating such a fascinating drama here. Jesus is on his way towards Jerusalem. His face is set. And then someone shouts from the side of the road, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, and says, "Kyrie eleison," we just sang it, "have mercy on me." And what is Jesus doing in the passage? He does something before he says, "Bring him to me." He stops. The guy with his face set on Jerusalem hears someone pleading for mercy, begging for mercy, and he doesn't keep on going. He stops. And I literally turned down all around in the woods, and I looked, and I saw Bartimaeus. And then Jesus says what Sally said. Jesus stops. He looks at the disciples and the crowd, and he says, not just call him over here. He says, call him. Do you feel it? Don't call just anybody. Call him. Call the one who is begging for mercy and bring him to me. And Bartimaeus pops up, springs up, and what does he do? He throws off his cloak. Guess what's about to happen? Do you know the reference here that Mark is talking about? He's about to be, starts with B, he's about to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. He springs up, he throws off his cloak, he runs to Jesus, and then Jesus asks him the same question that nobody up until now has been able to get. What did I come here for? Right? Last week, the disciples are arguing about who's greatest. What do you want from me? Jesus says to them, and they say, "We want to send your right and your left and all your glory." And Jesus is on his way towards Jerusalem to pick out the blind beggar by the road. Bartimaeus comes before him. Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he says, "Make me see," what's the last word?
Again.
Not just make me see, but make me see again. Because I forgot how. Now, who are we talking to right now?
Us.
Talking to us, right? And as individuals, as baptized Christians, we are on a journey from Jericho to Jerusalem. And we need to see again and again and again and again, because we're constantly losing our vision, right? We come to church, we get inspired, we get filled up, and then we leave, and all of a sudden things get blurry again, and we got to come back. We got to ask for mercy. And then Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And we got to say, "Help us to see again and again and again." We have had so many people come to St. Albans and give us such amazing things. In the last 3 months, we've had Ruby Sales, Kelly Brown Douglas. Last Wednesday night, Lisa Sharon Harper, an African-American theologian, is telling us in Nurse Hall, those of us who are African-American and living in the United States can't believe this is happening again. The journey to faith, more often than not, doesn't start from a place of vision. It starts from a place of
blindness and darkness. It's a theme throughout the Hebrew Scriptures and the Christian New Testament. It's not the blindness is intended to remain forever. So it's not, what am I trying to say here? I don't want us to remain in the darkness, but we need tools to help us to see, to remain clear. Are you with me? I don't think any of us has gotten there just yet. John Cook was just talking about this with a drawing, talking about L'Arche communities. But the beginning of the faith journey that begins in darkness begins with what Bartimaeus pleads for, and that is mercy. Son of David, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. It all starts right here. It starts with you and me, and it starts with our confession. Lord Jesus Christ, Kyrie eleison, have mercy on not just me, but us, so that we can see again and again and again. Can I share with you one thing before we say amen? I got to go back up here. I love my job. I really do. The one thing that I want to say to you is, I've never done this before. Senior wardens out there, she's going to love this, probably. If you haven't pledged, pledge. I mean it. Your staff and your clergy at this church are doing everything we possibly can in order that we see again. I can speak for Emily, I can speak for Deborah, I can speak for Sam, I can speak for Matthew, and I certainly hope I'm capable of speaking for myself in telling you that your clergy leaders here, we love the church, we love St. Albans, most importantly, we love Jesus Christ, and we want with you to go from Jericho to Jerusalem, to enter into this promised land. Deborah Potter is going to speak about stewardship. New member Matt spoke about it at 8 o'clock, or at 9:15, I'm sorry. And Laura Ingersoll spoke at the 8 o'clock service, and she read a one-page summary of why St. Albans is important to her, and I just want to read you part of it, okay? Because it's about the journey from Jericho to Jerusalem. But I want to call out the fact that St. Albans has come to be most important to me because it makes me uncomfortable. What nourishes my life most, my life in spirit most at St. Albans, is that I am lovingly, insistently pushed outside my comfort zone. At St. Albans, I'm challenged from scripture, from the pulpit, from prayer, from my community, to resist the dominant culture and live counter the press of materialism and power. Here I'm urged to walk in Jesus' way of justice, compassion, spiritual poverty, and humility. The final part of our little exegesis sermon, whatever this has been this morning, is the great ending to these few chapters in the Gospel according to Mark. And what happens at the very end, Bible students? Jesus says to Bartimaeus, "Go, your faith has made you well." And Bartimaeus doesn't go his own way. He goes the Jesus way. The way of compassion, the way of humility, the way of justice, the way that we are all called to go as individuals in the church. With me, can you say, not just amen, but Kyrie eleison, have mercy on us, show us the way from our Jericho to your Jerusalem. Can I get an amen now? Amen. Thank you very much.